I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Alex Brecker is an international communication expert, writer, and documentary filmmaker. After graduating in communications and film studies in France, Alex embraced a career in international development, working with various international organizations in Central Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and the Pacific. He lived for 3 years in Cameroon, during which he shot two feature-length documentaries, Message in a Bottle and the aforementioned The Explorer, Quest for Africa's Living Dinosaur. Alex Brecker, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
Very good, Richard. Good morning, or good evening for you.
It's also morning here now, very early, just after 3 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. So, first of all, congratulations. It's a beautifully shot film. I mean, the scenery is absolutely stunning. Just describe where, when we talk about the Congo Basin, I mean, that's a vast area. Just kind of give us a sense of what the terrain is like and what part of Africa you were in.
Absolutely. So, well, we're talking about the Congo Basin, which is a forest, a tropical rainforest that's about the size of Europe. It stretches from the Atlantic coast in Gabon to the mountains of the moon in Tanzania. So all across Africa, and it's one of the last wildernesses, unknown, uncharted areas in the world. Well, if you compare it to the Amazon, for example, the Amazon has been widely explored, but the Congo Basin remains extremely mysterious. So the area in this very vast forest where we are looking for Mokelembembe is at the border between Cameroon and the Congo, on the Cameroon side, along a river called the Jar River.
So Mokelembembe, will probably be familiar to many Coast AM listeners. I've talked to Dr. William Gibbons, who's been to the Cameroon and Congo on several expeditions looking for this elusive creature. But now it has its own movie. Mokelembembe, what do the locals say it looks like? How do they describe this creature?
Basically, they describe it as a sauropod dinosaur. So the first testimonies of Mokelembembe go back 300 or 400 years ago. There was a French bishop called Abbé Proyard, who was a missionary in that part of Africa. And he started collecting testimonies from the locals who described that giant claw-footed animal that, really looked like a sauropod dinosaur. So people have said it looks like an Apatosaurus. If you look at if you collect different testimonies, but there's no clear description of the animal, just the global shape. Maybe it has a horn, maybe not. But every local tribe's person would agree to say that it's huge. And that's why they have called it Mokele Mbembe, which means one who can stop the flow of rivers. So it tells a lot about the size of that animal.
And you mentioned an apatosaurus. I think that's what we used to call a brontosaurus, which, yeah, I mean, absolutely immense. The film is titled The Explorer. So while it is about the search for Mokele Mbembe, it's really focused on Michel Ballot, this former lawyer from France who left everything behind to go to Africa to find this creature. Tell us some more about Michel Ballot.
So Michel was a lawyer in the south of France. And about 15 to 20 years ago, he started writing letters to Bernard Hövelmans. So for those who know about cryptozoology, Bernard Hövelmans is a Belgian scientist, and he is considered the father of cryptozoology. So he's very well known for his investigations on Loch Ness Monster and Yeti and Bigfoot. Obviously, he was also involved. He examined the body of the Minnesota Iceman, which was very famous, a very famous case in the U.S. So Michel started exchanging letters with Bernard Hövelmans, and he asked him, like, bluntly, where in the world would I be likely to find a cryptid? And Hövelmans said, well, you should look at the Congo Basin, because there you have an animal called Mokele Mbembe, and we have lots of testimonies, there's some evidence, and it's likely that there's something out there. So Michel went on a first journey to Cameroon and the Congo. He spoke to the locals. The locals confirmed that there was something big living in that forest, and then he went a second time, found new evidence, then three times, four times. He dropped his job, and now he is a full-time explorer, so he dedicates his life to the search for Mokele Mbembe. He has been in about more than 20, 25 expeditions. He was writing me recently that he's planning for another expedition that will take place in October, so he goes there two, three times a year. And, well, he finds new evidence each time he goes there. And, I'm quite sure that he will find something one day. I mean, there's too many proofs that the beast exists. And Michel is certainly the most advanced researcher, specialist of Mokele Mbembe.
So you were living in the Cameroon for about 3 years. Were you doing sort of NGO-type development work there at that time?
Yes, I was working. I was working with WWF, the conservation organization, and then I worked with the UN, the United Nations.
Okay, so during that time, you met Michel Ballot. What were the circumstances under which you met Michel Ballot? And then maybe you can describe what that first meeting with this explorer was like.
Absolutely. Michel got a bit of a reputation in France, got well known in France, because he wrote a book called Searching for Mokele Mbembe. And I read that book, and it was absolutely amazing. So at the time, I was working with the World Wildlife Fund, WWF, in Cameroon. And I read that book, and, well, I found the research absolutely amazing and fascinating. And he was describing areas which I used to know when we were, for example, tracking elephants or gorillas. So he was looking for Mokele Mbembe in the same area. And the funny thing is that I met some pygmy tribes people when I was working there, and they would talk about Mokele Mbembe at night, you know, at the fire camp. So when I read that book, it really resonated. And I was like, okay, I need to meet that person, because certainly we have lots in common. So I sent him an email. I told him, like, well, I'd love to join one of your expeditions one day if you would invite me. And he told me, I'm going in 3 weeks. Come along. And then I went with him on the first expedition.
And Were you filming at that point, or was this simply a kind of a an introduction to the terrain and so forth, or did you start filming right away?
No. The first expedition was really to go there, to discover, I mean, to learn more about this quest for Mokelembembe, to meet Michel, to look at the terrain, and to be really honest, I didn't believe much in Mokelembembe at the time. If you know that part of Africa, well, people would describe lots of myths or monsters. They talk about, for example, mermaids, the Mamiwatas in the large rivers of Africa, and we know this is certainly not correct. I mean, they're not creatures of flesh and blood. So for me, Mokelembembe was maybe more of a myth.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we went on that expedition. So when you go on an expedition from Yaoundé, the capital of Cameroon, it's not an easy journey. So you have to drive basically for 3 days on dirt roads. It's very long. Then you take a dugout and you go on the river, on the Jar River. You go upstream for another 3 days. You have mosquitoes, you have flies, you have lots of insects. So it's quite an adventure. And then you reach this absolutely wonderful Enki waterfalls, which are basically the doors to the area where Mokelembembe is supposed to live. So I went on that expedition just to see the nature, to discover a new place of the Congo Basin. But the thing is, we found something. we found some new evidence during that first expedition. And yeah, then I started believing that maybe something exists out there.
We want people to watch the movie, and we don't want to give everything away, but can you give us a hint as to what that first little bit of evidence was that you discovered that led you perhaps to believe in the reality of Mokele Mbembe?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and it's very funny because you mentioned Dr. William Gibbons, Bill Gibbons, earlier in the show. And coming back to 2012, Bill Gibbons was with Michelle in that part of the Jar River, and they were setting camp, and they heard a big roar that really crossed the forest. And, well, the local people said, well, this is certainly Mokele Mbembe, but it was very far, and then it stopped. But they came back, you know, no recording, nothing happened. And when I went back there on this, so in my first expedition, which was in the winter of 2015, one night we were also set around the fire camp and we were starting to eat, and we heard a huge roar and then a big splash, something that really crossed the forest. I mean, really something loud, and the splash was even louder. And we interrogated local people, and they said, well, maybe these are elephants, maybe gorillas, but we're not really sure, or maybe, to put it simply, it's Mokele Mbembe. That place is known for Mokele Mbembe, and, you know, it was the middle of the night, we're in the middle of nothing, in the middle of the forest, so you tend to believe in what local people say. So the day after, we took the dugout, and we went upstream to try to find the area from where the roar was coming from. And we saw some large footprints. They were a bit hard to read, but it was something very large, like 80 centimeters and 55, so something quite big. And that was it. And the locals confirmed, like, yeah, I mean, that's Mokele Mbembe. So this is what happened during the first expedition. And the funny thing is that we recorded a bit of the sound. I sent it to Bill Gibbons, and he told me it's exactly the same kind of sound that we heard back in 2012 during our expedition. So this is what happened. And when I came back from that expedition, well, I had more questions than answers, obviously, but the way people talk about Mokele Mbembe, what you can find in terms of evidence, well, I tend to believe that it's absolutely real.
So that first expedition that you accompanied Michelle Ballot was 2015. When did you actually start filming for the documentary The Explorer?
So that was a couple of years after that. So in 2017. So in 2017, so what we talk about the winter in the Northern Hemisphere is the dry season in Cameroon. So basically, if you want to go on an expedition there, you can go from, there's a window from November to March. Then it's the rainy season, and it's you really can't go. I mean, the river, the flow of the river is too strong. So in September 2016, Michelle reaches out and he tells me, well, one of my trackers has found a cave that is said to be the den of Mokele Mbembe. So it's very far. Not only we have to drive for these 3 days and then take the dugout for 3 days and then climb the Enki waterfalls and walk, but we have to walk for about 10 days in the forest to reach an absolutely remote area that's in a totally pristine forest. So no human civilization, nothing. It's complete wilderness out there. Very dangerous as well, but we might possibly find the den of the animal and obviously some hard evidence, you know, that Mokele exists. So do you want to come? I told him, yes, of course, but I would like to do a movie, to film a documentary on the research, to share that with the world. It's too amazing, you know. So he told me, okay, no problem. I told him I will bring a camera. I will certainly hire a pygmy, a tracker, to help me with the sound. You know, we want to to be as light as possible, but we wanted to shoot a professional movie as well, but we were just a two-people strong team, and we tried to be absolutely invisible. So people wouldn't see us. We would just follow the expedition and follow Michel, and so that, you know, we wouldn't be intrusive with the cameras. And it worked pretty well.
And the locals there, the pygmies, when they talk about Mokelembembe, they've seen it, they've encountered it. Are they frightened by it? Do they hunt it?
So they are frightened by Mokelembembe. If you look at the area, when you... So there's a village called Endongo, and Endongo is about 5 hours boat ride from the port where you drop the car, basically. And you take the boat, you go upstream for 5 hours, you reach that village of Endongo, and this is the last village. Then if you go upstream, so 2-3 days towards the Enki waterfalls, you won't find a local on the river, you won't find a village. And even fishermen stay in the area of Endongo, and they don't go further upstream because they're afraid of Mokelembembe. And it's absolutely amazing. I mean, there are fishermen, there's plenty of fish out there, but they don't go there because they're afraid of the beast. And if you look back at the... Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. And if you look back at the history of Mokelembembe, so in another place, area of the Congo Basin, called Lake Tele, and that was certainly the 70s or 80s. So Lake Tele is another high, hotspot for Mokelembembe sightings. It's a lake, it's a crater lake that was certainly created by a meteorite that fell down on that forest, and it's another very remote area, and lots of there has been lots of sightings happening over there. And back in the 70s or 80s, there's apparently a couple of Mokelembembe were terrorizing local fishermen, so they couldn't put the boats on the lake to go fishing. So the villagers, local villagers, decided to kill these Mokelembembe. So there were some canals leading to the lake, and they started creating traps to try to trap the animal, to attract the animal in these narrower water streams, and then to kill them. So they managed apparently to kill one with spears and arrows, and then they ate the meat, and most of the villagers died because the meat was certainly poisoned.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.